Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Sean Desay, and guess who's back?
Yeah, hey, it's casual fan season, so that's my favorite time of the year.
It is casual fan season. Ken Evans is back on the show, so it is glad to have you back aboard. This episode of the Way of the Warrior podcast is brought to you by Scorpion King 4 that you can get now on a digital download, and then next week on DVD and Blu-ray. It's also brought to you by Celebration Cinema, our home for all things UFC, which includes the next chance for you to see it on the big screen, which will be Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz on the 31st of January. And the show, last but certainly not least, brought to you by the Triumph Training Center. As you're making those New Year's resolutions, these spots to get all that training done happens at the Triumph Training Center. And when it snows 12 inches out, make sure you do your cardio outside so you can be ready to get back in the gym and hit it. Right, Sean?
Or you can just do your cardio inside at the gym.
I guess so.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Where it's warm, safe, can't slip, fall, bust your head.
Look at this weather. It's like a John Jones.
Do you go jogging with headgear on just in case if you do fall?
With headgear, yeah. I have shin guards on.
Yeah.
I've got
elbow pads.
I've got those crazy braces for when you rollerblade, just in case.
You probably have a lot of rollerblading equipment laying around, don't you?
You know me too well, my friend. All right, a lot of stuff to talk about.
Speaking of the snow.
Yeah, speaking of 12 inches of snow, John Jones is in a bit of hot water after this week. When
John Blow Jones.
Okay,
Twitter went off, man. You just see
Twitter,
it.
Yeah, they did. Twitter certainly did their job.
Awesome.
It was something. And if you have not heard, what happened is on December 4th, John Jones was tested, and in that test, not only did they find some weird testosterone levels, which we'll talk about in a second, but they also found the main metabolite in cocaine in the test. So John quickly checked himself into rehab after Kevin Ioli figured this whole thing out. Joe Rogan and Brian Redband figured out that it happened in Brazil. It happened in Brazil, and here we are today dealing with John Jones and him in rehab.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just for those at home, you can't just have the metabolites that are in there from the cocaine. Is that what we're calling it?
Well, I mean,
the byproducts. What do we
call
it?
My job on this show is just to report the facts, and the metabolites is what
is that what it's called?
Was reported.
Well,
yes.
Can't have those
and
unless you do the blow.
I have not done the blow, so I don't know that to be
Sean.
A fact.
Wondering what you know about the topic.
Okay, so just to clear all...
Because you're very familiar with the testing.
This deviated septum happened from fighting.
Right.
Okay, so let's just get that cleared up. You know what? The whole thing to me is really... It's not confusing. Either you did the cocaine or you didn't.
Right.
So I don't know what they're doing about it, and this out of competition and whether it was banned.
This is really
stupid. You did cocaine.
Well,
pay the price.
So now there are two things to tackle here, right? This uh-huh. idea of in competition versus out of competition. And as Front Row Brian pointed out and Ken pointed out prior to doing the show today, isn't it interesting that the UFC all of a sudden stopped their out of competition testing as soon as this – story starts to
do you have the timeline laid out? Basically, it was December 4th that he tested positive.
Yes.
In out of competition testing. 3 or 4 days before his fight, UFC decided, hey, we're not going to use out of competition testing anymore because John Jones has a fight.
But wait, how does December 4th is out of competition? Because
is now what, 72 hour window, 48 hour? It's a very small window.
It is a very small
this
window.
This
yes,
week.
But then that doesn't even make sense with Chael Sonnen's situation.
No, but that's
because his was months.
Yes, it was.
And how was that?
Because he had licensing issues.
Well, and they will tell you in what I've been reading that PEDs are a totally different subject. So this,
yeah, because they're more harmful than cocaine.
And then you add in Matt Riddle, right, who gets fired for smoking pot. And then you've got this crazy –
because you can OD on marijuana.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
There's not a clear cut. And
Eric's toeing the line. He's towing the line.
I'm not towing the line. But I will be the first to tell you that there is clearly a pain in the ass factor in the UFC that Matt Riddle doesn't have that John Jones does, right? And I think everybody in this room would agree with that. The other thing to take into consideration is, and I'm going to supposition here for a second, if he gets busted for cocaine metabolites out of competition, 29 days out of competition, and has to go to rehab, meaning that it probably wasn't a five-day bender and I got that out of my system, I'm never going to do coke again sort of thing. It's an ongoing thing that I need to go into rehab for whatever reason. I find it hard to believe that we're not going to see trace amounts in the after-fight tests that he had to take.
Regardless, though, I mean, bottom line is that he's been screened. Not, he got popped for cocaine.
It's not regardless if there's no law to stop him from doing it, which there clearly isn't.
Right. So, okay, let's say he fights once a year.
Sure.
So 6 months prior, he can do all the blow he wants.
That's essentially what's happening, and that was
72. According to Brian Redband, and again, I will trust him as somebody who might have consumed this at one time or another. It's only 3 days.
Allegedly,
it's only 3 days that it's in your system. So, I mean, he could do that 3 days before he knows he's going to get tested. He just can't do it 2 days before he's going to get tested.
So, and then the fight was what, December?
It was January. January.
I mean, yeah,
2nd.
January.
January 3rd.
And the test was December 4th.
Yeah, so 29 days.
Yeah,
so,
he was a month
so then,
out.
Okay, so yeah, all right. And then you're saying that if there's a trace after the fight, that screening?
Well, then you've got an actual thing you can act upon. Right now,
right,
there's nothing
yeah.
you can do. He right. goes to rehab. Dana White
slaps him on the wrist,
whatever that is, which doesn't seem like he's going to do that. Then
no, he actually is proud of him whatever.
Well, because there's this other part of the story that they weren't even supposed to test for that, which is also weird. Like, it was an anomaly. It was a mistake that was made that this test was administered. Apparently,
the competition wasn't supposed to be for coke at all. It was basically testing the testosterone levels, which were wonky, too.
Which came back weird. And now everyone's trying to figure out what's going on with that.
So that's what's interesting about this. And we were on Facebook about this right when everything came down. And, you know, I basically asked the question on Facebook, do you think this should be a no contest? Do you think he should be stripped of the belt? What do you think? And a lot of people were saying at least a no contest, probably a rematch. And I understand Eric's point later, like none of that's going to happen because that's not the rules. But I think it's very interesting to hear fan perspective and to hear your perspective where you just go, wait, that's not right. Shouldn't
yeah.
I mean, if the guy can't do weed, why is the guy allowed to do blow? Why is he allowed to be the champion?
I don't think he should be stripped from the belt because, I mean, he's been defending it for so long now, but definitely should go down.
But a month out doesn't feel like out of competition.
It doesn't to me.
Yeah, when I read that, I'm like, no, that's not out of competition. Like, if it was like, oh, in October, he...
When you're cycling on and off, which is what they're supposed to be testing for, which is steroids, essentially, for the most part.
Right, yes.
When you're cycling on and off, a month out is not out of competition. A lot of guys are going to want to be clean at that point.
Especially for title fights, because those camps typically are longer. They're not your usual 6 weeks. They're either 8 or 12 weeks, depending
on
what shape
you're
in. And he did look skinny at weigh-ins, by the way.
So. I mean, joking aside, there's certainly a factor with cocaine where it's going to get you going. It's, you know, it's better than your cup of coffee you got today if you want to get the whole house clean.
And this
tonight.
Is what I'm.
This is tea.
What I'm saying is if you're one of the guys, Ken, that always watches the post-fight presser, mm-hmm. there's a moment where they ask John Jones about the night and how it felt and how he was enjoying it, and he tells this story that he couldn't get warm and he wasn't really comfortable, and his coach came to him and said, hey, do you want a sip of coffee? And he said, no, I don't want to mess with my system.
He's that guy. And
no, I don't want to mess with my system. But cocaine.
Let's just remember, and we touched on this, and that was going to be the driving force, I think, of this week's show before all of this happened. Let's all admit the guy is a bag. He's a big bag, and he wants to be liked, and he's not going to be liked because.
Are you trying to say douchebag? Or
yeah,
okay?
What are the rules now?
I don't know that we
all
have
right.
it.
I'm
well,
like a bag. Like
this show
he's
is
got
constantly
baggage.
Out of competition, so cocaine
right.
is okay. And
so he's a douchebag. Okay. Everybody knows he's a douchebag. The fans react as if he's a douchebag. If he would own that, that'd be great. But he wants to be liked. But then he makes fun of Daniel Cormier for taking a loss hard to a guy on coke, apparently. So he's a douchebag. That was going to be the driving force. A douchebag would do that. Go. I like to keep my body pristine.
Well, so in a very so,
so that's a bag move.
A very funny aside to this is that as this news is breaking on Monday night, I happen to stumble onto Netflix and see that Fight Church is on there. And if you've not watched the documentary Fight Church, essentially it's about churches all over America that are trying to start men's ministry groups by having them fight each other in cages.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen,
right?
I've seen parts of this.
What?
So there's 700 of these across the United States where they actually fight at church to bring men together in a group sense, like to share Christ and an understanding.
So some kind of like leadership thing going on.
Exactly.
They
yes.
Fight.
Yeah. So they fight.
But it's God's plan.
But what's
me?
But what's
God doesn't want a man to fight man.
Hang on. But what's even better about this is in the middle of the documentary, there's about 10 minutes of John Jones talking about how God has led him to the thing, like all of the I want to be somebody people can look up to, and that, you know, I'm somebody who's proud
John
of my
Jones
Christianity, and you know, and here
is an act we've seen through it from, yeah, for his entire time in the UFC.
I didn't buy when Rashad was talking about it. I was like, what right. is he talking about? But then as
you keep
the story
the,
keeps going on,
the personality,
yeah,
and at the end of the fight, you know, I mean, remember at the end of the fight, there was this weird exchange, and he ended up like putting his arms down, and then.
Right.
Well, he didn't punch me, so I punched him. And again, you're in a fight. I'm not going to be mad about that. Don't pretend that's not a douchebag move. Don't pretend you're not an a-hole that's milking it for all it's worth in this instance. And that's what he is. And those are his real moments, by the way. That's the real – and cool.
Sure.
You can own – you don't have to be a nice guy. In fact, probably Joe Rogan said it. He's the baddest man on the planet. You've got to be wild to be that kind of dude.
Yeah, for sure.
And he is. But he wants everybody to like him. And nobody really does like it.
Remember Greg said, now go get some fans.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and if he would just own the
fans. Remember that?
How much money does Floyd Mayweather Jr. have in one bank account because we don't like him? A lot.
Yes.
A lot of money in one bank account. He keeps it in one bank account, which is fun.
All of it.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go rob him or something?
No.
You guys are looking at me like.
It's a funny aside.
Oh, okay. You're like,
that.
Sean, by the way.
Yeah, Floyd keeps all his money. So he's got, what, $1 billion in like one bank account in Vegas. And he's made that $1 billion by people essentially waiting to see him get beat up for the past 10 years, right?
Yes, but yeah, he's owned that, right? Like he,
every
you know,
bit of it.
He goes and he makes these documentaries that make him look like just not the nicest guy on the planet. And he's talking himself up. And it's all hyperbolic in nature, and then it's always against a guy who is, oh, ho-hum, it's an honor to fight the champion, and I think I've got the stuff to beat Floyd Mayweather. Meanwhile, he's like, I'm going to murder you and your family, and you know, and you own that, and people want to pay money for
you to get knocked out.
And
you're a brand, and you're not, and that's the thing, the fans aren't going to attach to anything if you're going to be schizophrenic each time.
Sure.
Are you a guy that's, I love Jesus, and I love these ministries? Are you a guy that's doing coke and then whooping everybody's ass? Because if you're the guy doing coke and whooping everybody's ass, you're going to sell a lot of t-shirts if you would own that.
And you know, I know I don't, you know, we don't want to skip ahead a little bit.
Allegedly.
But look, I mean,
look
at Donald Cerrone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy dips all of the time, drinks Budweiser. He's, you know, knee boarding before the fight. Like, he's completely clinically insane about adventure sports and whatever that means. And he is a fan of the money. He just likes to get in there and get paid, and that's why. And he said it in the post-fight presser. You know, he's kicking Miles Jury because Miles has prevented him from getting the fight of the night bonus, right? So
He's mad about that.
He doesn't care that he just beat you up one side
Those
and down
the
other,
wicked,
right?
The way.
But he's now going to teach you a lesson for costing him $50,000. So much, in fact, that when they said, hey, do you want to fight in 6 days against Benson Henderson? He goes, yes, I do.
And then tweets Ben and says, let's go get this $50K. And then Ben goes, hell yeah.
Right. So, like, when you're that character, right, you're Donald Cerrone, and there are people here in the offices that don't watch very much stuff, but they know who Donald Cerrone is, and I'm sure this is going to make some people angry. They know who Conor McGregor is because those guys are really charismatic,
yeah,
they own that thing that they are. Like Chael Sonnen did, and you're absolutely right. If you're going to be in this weird universe where you're a jerk to me one minute, then you're totally nice a next minute, then you're doing a documentary about Christianity the next minute, then doing cocaine, allegedly, in Brazil the next minute, I don't know how to buy into that. Because, yeah, I'll buy into the fact that you're a badass dude that's doing cocaine and, you know, having sex with prostitutes in Brazil or whatever it is that you're doing, that I can buy into because I understand what that is.
To be fair, those prostitutes are also designated drivers for John Jones. So just want to let you know.
Have you been to Brazil? what's up with that, man?
So do we want to talk about his testosterone at all? Because this is the bigger part of the story that's kind of just humming underneath the coke thing.
Because I think it's humming under the story because it's very difficult to understand. And you have the commission coming in and going, oh, no, I mean, I'm looking at the results right here. They're totally clean, everybody. Can I see them? No, you may not, but I've got them right. You've got to trust me that they're clean.
We heard they look weird. Yeah, they might look weird.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing I don't understand.
If you hold it upside down, they look perfectly normal.
Here's the thing I don't understand, okay? And I know this by firsthand because, like, on the day before or when we get there or especially on fight day, Burt Watson will come up to you in the locker room. On fight day, he'll even tell you, you can't even drink coffee that day.
Right.
Because, you know, if you take the test, they find caffeine, banned substance. Caffeine, okay?
And they want to try to do it early, too, because the testosterone can get a little wonky later in the day, right?
So they're really, really, like, they hone in on you. They make sure that you're not doing this or that. And, like, if you have to have your coffee, you know, if you just needed the taste, do the decaf, you know. Just don't have any caffeine in your system. So this out of a competition, I don't want to go back to it too much, but correct me if I'm wrong, the metabolite that they found in cocaine is not a banned substance on the out of competition list.
Correct. That this is this
that
is, this
blows my mind. I mean, no pun intended there, but it really it does not make sense. How does that not that should be a banned substance whether you fight or not?
Well, okay,
it should be a banned substance,
and again,
and it is,
and I don't,
it's against the law.
It's an illegal substance.
Well, he was in Brazil, so I don't know.
Not when he got tested, he wasn't.
Well, I don't know. I assume children do it.
So
I guess thanks. I just wanted. I'm back for the Brazil fans.
I'm so glad that you're back for the.
You know they have the internet down there, right?
So what's fascinating about this, right, is how do you wrap your head around the fact that cocaine is not a banned substance when you're out of competition? Here's a better one, right? Take it a step further. There are actual tests they administer that block things from showing up on the test. You know, the anomaly is we shouldn't have tested for cocaine. What? Why not? What else are you not testing for when you're testing this tiny blood sample universe that you're looking for, whatever specific PEDs that you're looking
right.
for? And if I know that you're looking for this tiny lane of data, can I cheat that test by taking a different supplement that won't show up in that tiny lane?
Yeah, like they were saying, like the urine sample was like watered down or whatever. And like, bottom line, it doesn't matter. How is it? I'm still can't get my head around it. How is it not banned?
I don't know that I have the answer to that. But Ken, walk us through this testosterone part of it because
I was going to ask you because I don't think we've got a clear answer. And here's the you hit on this. The gist of it is that they're not really letting anybody see. And I know a couple of guys have made FOA requests because it is the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Bloody Elbow has for sure, and I know the Bleacher Report has for sure, as put in the FOIA.
So basically what we have with the testosterone, and this is my very basic understanding, and Sean, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. Basically the way his testosterone looked was a little weird and a way it could look if you're trying to take masking agents is what I'm hearing.
Yep.
And again, we don't know that for sure. And this is more alleged. The coke, we probably know he did the coke. This, we're not sure what he did or didn't do, if this was early or late in the day when they did the test, because we're waiting to hear. And I was just checking Twitter to see if anybody had seen that yet, and I'm not seeing it as of the time of the show taping.
And to feed into what you're saying, like there are, and Sean, this is obviously your expertise, that, you know, there are times of day, if you have a really, really brutal workout, your testosterone could be really, really low after that workout if they test you there. So there are some reasons that you could get a really weird test, but and explainable reasons that isn't you cheating. What's fascinating about this is we are 48 hours into this test being shown. I use air quotes because nobody's actually seen it. Said that, oh, no, it came back totally fine, and nobody's seen it. It's interesting that we have not seen it, or Kevin Ioli hasn't seen it, or Bleacher Report hasn't seen it at this point, which only raises more suspicion when you have a guy who's in rehab for doing cocaine who has elevated, then lowered, then elevated, then lowered testosterone levels, and you won't let anyone see what that test looks like.
And you know what was really that threw me off? Most people that go into rehab, it's not off of one offense. You know, usually it's...
This is what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
You know, like, it's a multiple offense.
Well,
and
let's go back. Let's go back real quick.
And
this
he was...
John Jones. This is
yeah,
me going, you know,
he
I'm
was,
gonna,
he
get
was,
out of this. I'm just going to go to one of these
but
Hollywood
he was in rehab before anything, before we even found out what, like, oh, this the drug pop, whatever. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm going to rehab. Why? I did cocaine. Wait, what? No, wait. No, you don't go.
Come back here.
You don't start like that and go backwards. You know,
right.
It's the other way around.
And that's what I was saying early in the show is like, it doesn't seem to me to be, I went to Brazil. I had a really good time for 5 days. I got that out of my system.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to this Hollywood rehab thing to take the heat off. And it certainly, I guess it could be that. But man, if it's not, right?
And to be fair, the commission is saying everything's clean. But again, everybody's going, can we see the report then? What's going on? We got CIR, CIT, depending on who you
but
ask.
But they don't have the out of the after competition one even done yet, though, right?
Oh,
the one you're talking about is the other
prior,
one.
Yeah, the prior to the fight, and from what I'm reading too, that may be the pre-fight test. So the you take the test the day before or the day of, Sean.
The pre-fight?
Yeah. Is it the day of?
No, the day in the, on that day.
Okay.
Like before you fight, like when you get to your locker room, the first thing you do is you go test, and then after you fight, you test again.
So I think that's what they're talking about, and a lot of people are trying to figure out, you know, the whole testosterone thing and what's going on with the epitestosterone and all of those levels. Because basically nothing looks like he might have done anything, but they usually don't look like this. That's the best we can get out of it.
Yeah, and until we see anything.
And the only thing...
You don't give guy credit when, like you said, Sean, oh, yeah, I see you later. I'm going to go to rehab for it. Nobody talk to me.
And the thing that's really... I mean, it doesn't bother me too much. I'm not losing any sleep. But, like, the more time that goes by, the more cover-up there's going to be.
Oh, if that's all I can find on Twitter when I'm trying to find these updates, is I see hashtag cover up and hashtag John Jones.
And then, you know, and I think it was really funny. I think it was earlier this morning. I saw a picture of Chael Sonnen drinking a Coca-Cola after a weigh-in saying something along lines of, John, stop telling lies about me before, or I'll start telling the truth about you. And they fought long time ago. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
And he's drinking a Coke, and people are like, "What? Does Chael know something about John?" And
well, and this, you know, again, allegedly,
like, who drinks a Coca-Cola after weigh-ins?
Right.
No one does. Right. They drink Pedialyte.
Yes. So this story has been floating around for a while that this is something that happens in his universe.
The cocaine?
Yes.
I've never heard it before.
Oh, well, I had never heard it prior to this, but...
Oh, but you're saying
but
from
on Twitter,
all the other,
you know, as you're watching all of the...
Everyone's like, this isn't news.
Well, not that it isn't news, but that this, you know, if you watch Front Row Brian or Brookhouse or those guys, these luminaries are saying that this has been a story that we've heard buzzings about for a long time, but had nothing to go on, so we weren't going to tell this story because that's... journalism, right?
I don't
right?
even
that's
think just... we're talking about this much if John Jones doesn't want to prop himself up as some type of savior or he's clearly the best fighter on the planet at this point, right?
Yes, he is the
best.
Kilo for kilo, he is.
Hands down, he's the best fighter.
But it's this a-hole persona. It's this whole thing with him, and now we're on. Because otherwise, I mean, if you want to tell me about 10 other fighters, oh, yeah, so-and-so did blow. Yeah, I probably would, too, if I was that guy. Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, we don't even talk about Melvin Gillard, and he certainly did it.
And you know what? Right? He shouldn't do it because he can't even afford it. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Here we go.
We're diverging.
Allegedly.
We're diverging.
All right.
Well,
he admit to it.
So. We
not about being broke.
We will,
the
allegedly part.
If you follow our Twitter account this weekend, at Wow Show, if anything breaks or we get a hold of the data, we will put it out there so you can read it. And when we come back, we are going to talk to Hoyce Gracie. Now, this was a very fun couple minutes this week as we talked about him being in Scorpion 4 and some other stuff. Understand that I did ask him some questions about John Jones prior to the cocaine information, so my conversation will mostly be about John being the baddest man on the planet, and there will be no questions to Hoyce about the baddest man on the planet.
Cop out.
So I don't want you to send me I'm a terrible journalist things like this happened well before this was even broken out. So we'll talk to Hoyce Gracie next. Then when we come back, we'll break down the rest of UFC 182 and find out when Donald Cerrone will be babysitting Miles Jury, as it was clearly man versus boy. We'll talk about all of that next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself. I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman.
Way of the Warrior, it is Eric, along with Joe and Sean, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. A big deal this week as we welcome to the show UFC Hall of Famer Hoyce Gracie. He's got a new movie out this week on digital, and then you can get the Blu-ray and DVD next week on January 13th. So without further ado, welcome to the program, UFC Hall of Famer, and now ambassador to Bellator MMA, Hoyce Gracie. Hoyce, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I want to start by saying thank you. You probably don't remember this, but about 16 or 17 years ago, we met at a jiu-jitsu seminar here in Wayland, Michigan. And because of you igniting my love of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I have remained in shape while all of my friends 40 or older have not so much. So I want to thank you for me not being fat.
You're welcome.
How are you, my friend?
Good, man.
Good. So
life is good in my world.
It looks like it is. Scorpion King 4 Quest for Power on digital HD this week. Next week, you can get the physical copy, the DVD and the Blu-ray. I've watched all the video that's available. I have not seen the movie yet, but it looks like you had a blast doing this. What was the process in getting involved in this one in particular?
Man, well, they got Roy Nelson, they got Bigfoot Silva, Don the Dragon Wilson, it's a good cast, Eva Torres there, so Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk. Man, so they put a bunch of martial artists people together, and it's an action packaging movie with a comedy, with funny, that my daughter, 9 years old, love it, and my teenager sons love it, so it's for the whole family.
Did you enjoy the process of making the movie?
It was a challenge. I'm not used to fight with swords, and the choreograph was, I had a very good instructor, the stunt coordinator, Grant. He was showing me, and I just keep practicing over and over, and Victor Webster was awesome on the set. Every time I swing the sword, he's like, man, just go ahead and swing it. Don't worry. I'll block it. Like, dude, I don't want to hurt you. My accent, man, I hate you. He's like, you won't. Don't worry. I was like, okay, but don't do the same, because I might forget to block your sword, okay?
Very fun. So you go through this whole process. You're now in the media part where you're getting promotion out for the movie. Is this something, I know you've got your new job with Bellator, which I'll ask you about in a second, but is making movies something that you might want to do a couple more of, or was this kind of a one and I've got it out of my system sort of deal?
I've done a couple where I was myself teaching and fighting, small pieces appears from fighting, but to work with the sword and the whole long fight scene and the dialogue, and that was new to me. That was a challenge. I like it. I was just yesterday at UTA talking to my agent, Andrew, and was just discussing more of that. He was saying maybe write, get a writer to write a book. He's shopping for, he's looking for a writer right now to write a book on a life story, the accomplishment that I did, and the inspirational type of book. And maybe that turned into a movie. But not for me to play myself, but somebody to get somebody good looking, man, to play myself.
Hoist,
you look good, man. Come on.
UFC Hall of Famer Hoist Gracie joining us, talking about the Scorpion King 4 Quest for Power, available right now on digital HD and DVD and Blu-ray. Your new job, you started in October as the ambassador for Bellator. How is that going?
Man, I am helping them out. I travel 7 months of the year. So traveling 7 months of the year, I'm just helping spread them all over the world. Going down to Brazil So it's helping the fighters with knowing how to present themselves, talking to a lot of them.
And are you liking this process so far, as being essentially the ambassador or the face of Bellator, hooking up with the fans, talking to the fighters about, how to present themselves in a more professional manner or a professional manner if they're not used to that? Are you liking this process so far?
I like to do this. To me, it's not like I don't look at the job, because I like it. I enjoy teaching the people and educating the people about fighting and teaching the fighters how to act in the ring and outside the ring, and you see how to behave themselves. And I like to do that. I don't mind. And Bellator have one coming up right now in Semple. That's the 16th. Pitbull and Strauss. Pitbull is defending the title. So it's going to be a good fight, man. But I just met Pitbull a couple months ago with Brazilians, of course, we got to pull for each other. But then Dorje is fighting on that same, he's fighting Jenkins on the same card. So I can't wait. I sparred with Dorje, I trained with Dorje before. he's awesome. You see, he's just awesome with submissions and very entertaining fighter. He goes all out, so can't wait to see him fight both of them. I'm going to see both of them fighting live for the first time. I see them fight before on YouTube and on DVDs, but not live, so I can't wait for that card.
Very exciting card coming up for Bellator. And I know you've been doing a ton of these, so I want to ask one last question. Over the weekend, John Jones defended his title. I want to get your thoughts on his quest to be the greatest of all time. Did you watch the fight, and your thoughts on his evolution as a fighter from going where he was at, you know, 22, 23 years old to now 27 years old, defending his belt? And what do you think about him as a fighter?
Man, the guy's awesome. But not because he's a fighter, it's because he knows how to use strategy. That's why I like the champions. They're the champions because they know how to use strategy. They're not just tough guys that come in and put up a brawl and fight and swing punches. No, they know how to when to get in a clinch and when to stay away and when to back off and when to take the guy down and take the opponent out of their game. So he did a good job.
Would you say, and some have said, but I would love to get a Hall of Famer's perspective, would you say that's his best performance to date against Daniel Cormier?
Daniel Cormier, man, he's a very tough opponent. And John Jones took him out of his game. John Jones was able to take him out of his game. Simple as that. Nobody expected him to do such a thing, John Jones to do such a thing. I didn't expect John Jones to do such a thing. And he totally took Cormier out of his game. He even took Cormier down. Who would have believed that he would have taken Cormier down?
Absolutely.
And two or three times, like after each other, one after the other. So it's like, wow, man, that was impressive.
Absolutely.
The guy did.
Hall of Famer Hoist Gracie joining us. I will let you go. Make sure you go get it this week on digital HD. Scorpion King 4, The Quest for Power is out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And then the 16th, Bellator. Do not miss it. Hoist, always a pleasure. Have a wonderful 2015. We look forward to talking to you again real soon. Hoist Gracie joining us. You can catch him on Twitter at Real Hoist. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Sean and Ken this week, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Thanks again to Hoist Gracie for stopping by. Make sure you pick up your copy of Scorpion King 4, available on digital download this week, Blu-ray and DVD next week. The rest of the show brought to you by Celebration Cinema and Triumph Training Center at TriumphGym.com. So if you're looking to make your New Year's resolution to become a MMA legend, it starts at the Triumph Training Center,
yeah.
TriumphGym.com. UFC 182 is in the books, and as I said, still a lot of stuff to talk about there. Not the least of it is Cerrone and Miles Jury, which I don't know. I mean, for people who were cheering for Cerrone, which you certainly should have, I don't know that even those people thought it was going to look like that.
I kind of did, because remember, I've been saying I'm not a big nothing against Miles Jury.
I think there's a difference between going, I'm not sold on his undefeated streak,
yeah,
than seeing a guy who literally looked like he might not belong there.
Yeah, this was an interesting thing, too, because for the casual fans, when you look at it, I mean, you're going to look at it, what was it, 4-8 in the division?
Yes.
Is that what they were numbered? So, I mean, you look at that, you don't expect that. You expect, I guess, to go back to the college bowl season, you expect Michigan State Baylor.
Right.
You expect a fight, and maybe Miles is going to win, and we didn't see that. Looking back at it, maybe Miles was ranked a little too high in the division, but what else do you do with a guy that's undefeated like that in that division? You can't just you can't knock him down too far, but I mean, I'm wondering if that divide here, and if we didn't maybe underrate Cerrone a little bit here in this division as well, I'm wondering if that divide, when we get to maybe top four in that division,
well, it definitely
just
makes,
doesn't drop way off.
It definitely draws a line now, like, okay, even in the top 10, once you get close to those top four spots, it's a whole different ball game. I mean, those guys are straight up murderers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at one point, I mean, I think in the third round, Miles Jury was literally running away from Cerrone. Like, he was running in all directions.
Which, to be fair, most grown men should.
Yeah,
run away,
I mean,
from,
yeah,
Cerrone.
But I mean, you know, if that's your job and your passion and you're trying to make a living and earn a good paycheck for that night, running backwards is not going to be a decent
paycheck.
He
wasn't quite right. I mean, he was certainly backing up. He was in over his head. It reminded me. And I may be way off here, and I was just watching the fight, and maybe I'm just assigning too much credit still to Miles Jury, but I thought it reminded me a little bit of that first fight we saw with GSP and Matt Hughes years ago, the fight that Matt Hughes won.
Sure.
Oh, the armbar, yeah.
GSP's out of his league. Oh, look at this guy. I mean,
well, no, because GSP was actually winning that fight all the way up until the armbar.
Well, and this was obviously in the first two rounds of the fight. By the third, it changed a little bit. But that's what I kind of got with the first two. And I'm not saying Miles was winning at any point,
but
I'm kind of watching it and going, okay, well, this is how this is supposed to go. It's still number four against number eight, and the guy doesn't really have a lot of high-level competition. And I guess maybe more in my head, I'm thinking about it like, let's not write Miles Jury off at this point.
I'm not writing him off. It's interesting from a fan perspective to see that disparity, right? We talk a lot about, especially in the heavyweight division, with talking about Brock Lesnar or even talking about John Jones and Cain Velasquez. When you get above the top five guys in the heavyweight division, there aren't a lot of guys in the heavyweight division that can even hold a candle to them. There's a lot of guys in the division that you like to see fight, but once you go from five to champion, there aren't a lot of those guys that you can beat, right? You get JDS and Stipe Miocic fighting for 25 minutes like they did, and you go, there's nobody really in the division that's going to do that to either one of those guys. It's interesting to see that at the lightweight division, where for a long time we've talked about the top 10 people being serial killers, and that even entering Kevin Lee, for example, even entering 155 is a death sentence because you've got to fight all of these insane fighters. And then to see the disparity between 4 and 8 was just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest difference I saw is when Dos Anjos fought Benson Henderson. When he came out blasting, I was like, oh, man, that dude's – there it is. That's the difference between the top 5 and 6 through 10.
There's going to be a difference. I don't think anybody expected that much. I mean, you had an undefeated guy. You had a perfect storyline here.
Sure.
But if the people that were buying the hype were like, oh, this is going to be a great fight, I'm sure they got a little disappointed. Like, okay, where is this great fight?
I thought I'm not going to say it was a great fight, but I thought we had a fight that was a decent fight for maybe a round and a half. And then you kind of saw, oh, this guy's sinking. And I give Miles Jury credit. I mean, even eating the leg kicks, even backing up on occasion, he still hung in there with Donald Cerrone until the end of that fight.
I think
it wasn't in question by any means, but you still gave a guy credit for that.
I think his system kind of shut down after the grappling part of round one, because the omoplata that Cerrone held on to for quite a long time, and then he switched it over to a body triangle, the rear naked choke, which is surprising that, I mean, and that's that, and this is just my opinion, but I don't think Cerrone's legs recovered quite well, because in round two, he wasn't throwing as many kicks, and I think he was trying to get the feeling back in his legs, because when you do body triangles and omoplata long,
yep.
I mean, essentially you're doing a triangle, period. You're doing figure four. It takes a while for the blood to get back in those legs, man, and then in round three he started kicking again. So that was kind of cool to see that transition happening with Donald Cerrone. But, yeah, I think Miles just, was a little bit in shock, like, man, this guy is vicious on the ground too. And that's probably why he didn't know what to do. He's like, okay, well, I can't take him down because – look what happened to me.
I don't want to do that, right? Yeah.
And
right.
The stand-up, look what's happened to me, so I don't know what else to do. He does have enough experience, and he does have enough skills not to get finished.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people out there, I don't care, they may not ever become like the champion or even get close to the title, but they're really, really good at not getting finished.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now the sport's evolving to the point where it's getting closer now, people getting caught this and that, whatever, but some guys just know how to get out of certain things, and they're like, yeah, well, you're not going to knock me out. You're not going to finish me. I'll lose by decision. That's cool, but I'm not going to get knocked out tonight. And I think that's what kind of Miles, did.
Well, I'm looking at it, too, and, Cerrone wants to go in there and get his 50 grand. I was actually really surprised. I mean, you told me, and it kind of got buried this week when I came in for the pre-show today.
Right, right.
I'm looking at you. You've got a board up there, and you've got Cerrone gets Benson January 18th. Did you write that right? Apparently that's real.
No, that's a real thing. And, that card in Boston just got, I think, a lot better. I think that's
that's a Fox Sports card.
That's a Fox Sports card.
Or is it on Fox?
Fox Sports, I believe. I don't have it in front of me. But that's the Conor McGregor, Dennis Seaver as the main event, and then the co-main will be Cerrone and Benson Henderson. So, that'll be an awesome card next
week. Are you surprised he took this fight? Because I thought
nope,
it was a little
not
bit...
not at all. Not in the slightest.
Only because...
He likes fighting Benson.
I get that, but I mean, he's in that catbird seat now for that next title shot. I thought.
Well, but if you look, so and I
know
was,
he only beat number eight, but he was number four going in, and it was such an impressive
And he's
fight.
On a six fights win streak. And
Benson's ranked higher than him, right?
He is ranked higher than him.
All right.
No, he's not. Yeah, you know, you're right. Sorry, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
I think he's just one above him.
It's 3 and 4. But you've got Nurmagomedov, who's hurt, and Dos Anjos gets Pettis, so the dance cards are stacked, and Cerrone is a guy that wants the money. You've got to do this because you know that there's not another opportunity to fight a lightweight that matters till probably the end of the summer or fall.
And he also felt like he didn't do what he wanted to do in the Miles Berry fight. He's like, no, there's so much left of fighting in me. I didn't want to do this camp and not show what I did. You know?
Sure.
Because he spent over 20 grand just in bringing guys in and for his training camp against Miles Berry.
Right. And I don't remember the win-loss pay. I don't remember the pay.
He got 140.
And he wanted that 50, though, on top of it.
Of course he did. He always does. And then the kickoff to the main event was a really interesting fight in that we wondered why they were feeding poor Berkman to Hector Lombard. And then it turns out that Berkman's a guy, like you just said a minute ago, you're going to beat me by decision, but I am not going to get knocked out by the scariest man in this weight division.
Yeah.
Josh Berkman, I think, and I even thought I thought he looked great in the first round. And I just think I think Joe Rogan's the one who calls him the boogeyman of 170, and I think he is the boogeyman. You know, he's a guy that nobody wants to fight, and they don't want to fight him because he can do what he did to Joe. I mean, most other people would have been out cold after two rounds of that insanity.
You know, when I went back and watched it, but when I first tuned in, I only tuned in when it got to the third round. And when I was looking, I was like, whoa, he got to the third round, cool. Then I saw, I was like, wow, okay, cool. And then I saw the way Hector looked, and I'm like, man, this doesn't look good. I mean, he obviously was winning, but he looked just as gassed out as
he looked very tired. But again, Berkman takes him to the third round. If Berkman's a guy that could have turned that corner, right? Because you talked about guys that you can beat him, but you won't be able to knock him out. There are also guys that if you let them hang around that long, they're going to finish that fight.
Oh yeah, there's dangerous third round guys.
That will take guys like Hector Lombard, or in a case like Melvin Gillard, tons of muscle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Guys could take him into the third round and then finish him because he's all that lactic acid. He can't keep the gas tank up, and then there you go. So that was an interesting fight. Tavares and Marquardt, I think, was unremarkable.
Yeah, I like Brad too, but man, that was kind of boring.
I don't remember the fight. Yeah, I'll be honest.
It was boring.
And then for whatever reason, they put Horiguchi and Luis Gagnon on the main card, and that was again. I thought Horiguchi looked good.
Yeah,
didn't look like a guy that could challenge Demetrius Johnson, but he looked good.
Yeah, I didn't know any of those two guys, so I didn't watch the fight. I went and got a cheeseburger.
I will speak for you.
Thanks for watching the fights.
Yes, you're welcome. That's what I do.
Do we want to talk briefly about the fact that John Jones, I don't think he lost the fight. I had a lot of people angry with me on Twitter on Sunday morning, I guess it would be at that point.
Sure.
I thought he got about as beat up as he's been in any fight.
No, Alexander beat him up more.
I think Alexander damaged him more.
What's the definition of damage?
Here's what I'm saying. I think he had
one. You go to the hospital, the other one you don't.
I think he had to work harder. I think he was more uncomfortable. I think he ate a lot of shots and fought in range that he didn't want to do
against DC.
Against DC, yeah. Okay. I think he took some more damage, obviously, against Alexander Gustafsson.
Yeah.
I think he felt like at the end of the night, though, he probably got beat up by DC. He won the fight. But I think DC was able to beat him up about as much as anybody has.
Here is one question I want to ask about this, and I know that we spent 20 minutes talking about John Jones and cocaine and never really talked about the fight. And since we're talking about the fight, I want to ask collectively, if at any point will we start automatically deducting eye poke points?
go ahead, Sean.
All right, good. This is like one of my theories. This is something I came up with. I think people who have reputations for certain fouls.
Sure.
Okay. So we'll talk about John Jones. This is not the first time he's eye poked.
It's not even the 20th,
I know.
Actually. Okay.
And in the fight with DC, after the eye poke, once DC says, yeah, I'm ready to fight, bam, that kick to the liver and the ribs, it started to shut DC down a lot. So it was like a break that Jones needed. You know, he got to get his bearings and all that nonsense. Here's the thing. If I was the referee, now the referee, when they do the pre-rules, they go in the locker room, they get to tell the fighters what they're looking for.
This is what I'm looking for.
Specifically. Yep. So if I was Big John or Herb Dean or whatever it is, if I'm reffing Jones's fight, I'm going to be like, look, John, this is your warning now. Not out there. You have a reputation of poking eyes, and it's just because the way you fight. I'm not saying it's intentional. But I'm letting you know right now, even if it's accidental, I am going to take a point away. So don't be surprised when I do so. It's like if someone always grabs the fence when you take them down.
Sure.
And they have that reputation. Oh, yep. Well, he always grabs the fence. You let that guy know, hey, you have a reputation of doing that. Why? So I'm going to take the point away one time, and then on the second one, you're going to get disqualified.
Now, why don't we just do the point? That's what I don't understand.
Why are there so many warnings?
Yeah, why? I mean...
Well, because like it's not going to...
Because they use the unintentional rule.
But that shouldn't matter. These are supposed to be the top athletes in the world, mm-hmm. top athletes yeah. in fighting. Sure. You're supposed to be able to control your body. If you don't, if you hit a guy in the head in the NFL, you get a penalty. Like... It was an accident. I tried to do my shoulder.
I grew up kicking my whole life. Mm-hmm. I started off with taekwondo, karate, muay thai, all that stuff. I have never, in sparring, in competition, whatever, I have never, ever deliberately or accidentally kicked anyone in the nuts. I just haven't.
So do you not think it should be taken?
No. Here's what I'm saying. It's just like I think
you should have more control, like what you're saying.
It should be automatic. I'm with you. There should be no warning. It should be automatic. And what I was going to say is it doesn't change the scope of the fight. He would still win the fight. But that round could have been...
But that was the third round, right?
That third round could have been 9-9,
so
right?
Because we've got a tie fight.
Because you know, I thought DC was winning the first half
DC
of that.
DC might not eat that kick that Sean mentioned.
Gets poked in the eye, and then the kick from then on, John wins that round and probably finishes that round with a win. But if the point is taken away, it's 9-9. Now you have a more interesting discussion.
John's
because
going to be more tentative. He's going to try to make sure he's controlling himself.
Yep. So I'm wondering as I watch these fights, not that I didn't think his performance was brilliant. Whatever circumstantial evidence we may or may not see in the post-fight test aside, that's not what I mean. Not knowing that information, it was a brilliant performance from a guy who is clearly the best in the world.
You didn't
at what
think
he does.
Looked a little gassed out in the first couple of rounds?
Because he was beat up?
I was like, no, because I mean, nothing really was starting to happen. They both looked.
And maybe that's what I'm talking about.
They
when
both
say,
came out
maybe
like.
You, maybe you.
And
you,
I'm like,
you,
dude, probably, it's only round two. What are you doing?
You described it better. Maybe more than beat up is like he just seemed tired.
Yeah,
like he was just
well,
wore
but you
out.
Got you got
that's
to wonder
what DC was doing to him.
You got to wonder, and I forget who it was. Maybe it was George St. Pierre that was talking about fighting angry, and how it sucks up
so much of your
energy when you're like in the back pacing like a lion, can't wait to get a hold of this guy and injure him. And if both of those guys are doing that, you're coming in essentially at round seven, not round one.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was what it was to call, you know,
if you were to point your finger on something,
you know,
it
calm
would be
it down a little bit. And that's why that second round was a little bit better than the first round and so forth and so on.
I didn't like the main event. It was boring to me.
I don't know that it was boring. Yeah, I thought the first three rounds.
I thought once we hit that third round, I think we knew what was going to happen from there because we didn't see any of the takedowns that we thought. I was one of those guys. I don't know if I bought the hype or if John Jones is just that good.
As soon as I saw Jones get the first takedown, that's when I was like, it's over.
Well, I didn't know.
It's over for DC.
I didn't think it was over at that point. I didn't think John would be able to avoid the takedowns as much. I thought he would get it. Again, it's MMA. It's not wrestling. There's punching. There's kicking.
Yeah.
There's different ways to take a guy down. Yeah. I would have said you were crazy if you're going to tell me John Jones isn't going to take the guy down.
Right.
I would not have believed you, though, if you would have told me there would have been – and I'll say that there were no effective takedowns from DC in that fight.
No.
I mean, there was that weird
that
sort of
that one big slam in the fourth or fifth, but, I mean –
And that was more
happened.
Jones trying to jump up and out and ended up on his back and stood right up.
Right up. Like not even a full second he was on his feet. So I didn't like the main event. I was like, man, too much hype build up. And
depending on what happens with this test, you might get to see it again.
I don't want to watch it again.
They're going to want Gus to take care of the situation. They're going to want Gus
I'm pulling for Rumble Johnson. I want him to go and crash and smash everyone out of the division. I like Alexander, but I think Johnson's going to.
Well, I think
he's going to do some upsets
guy that,
all the way to the belt.
I would love to see that. That's an exciting, you know, that's totally exciting.
Well, they're fighting, so it's going to be cool.
Well, no, yeah. I think Alexander would cause him more problems now, especially if he's not so hype.
Yeah.
In other news.
Like, that should be the title fight, my opinion.
In other news, it appears that Uriah Faber and TJ Dillashaw, they've said this, but now have officially said it in the open, that they're cool with fighting each other if that's something that needs to happen, which not only do I think is probably good for that division, but also I would love to see those two guys set the precedent that excuse is no longer a thing.
Thank you.
Because we're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. Glover Teixeira is injured, which means the Mir Bigfoot fight moved to the main event of that card, so be on the lookout for that as Glover heals his knee and will fight Rashad. What did he say? April? Is that what he said? I think he said April.
I'm checking back in his casual thing, so you're going to have to catch me up. The thing I'm looking at on this board that you wrote down, the irony of all ironies is this week is John Jones is having all these testing issues, and Vitor Belfort, clean as a whistle, apparently.
Three tests in a row, undefeated.
Right.
Test zero.
Is that because his urine just went through the cup so there was nothing
to test?
So it's
empty, so he's clean.
Oh,
and then Chris has taken one so far and come back clean on that one. I don't know that anyone thinks that Chris is going to do anything, but it looks like this fight is on, so you're going to see this one happen, which is exciting.
How would Jones be approved to take TRT? I mean, he's too young to be having any kind of.
I don't think he's going to be approved for
that.
I mean, is that something in the discussion? Or
okay.
You just,
no, it's just like, I'm just like, because like if it, let's say it comes back and
you go on
like,
a trip and come on back right. In the middle of the show, what is going on?
Like if it comes back and he's like, oh, yeah, he does have some elevated testosterone. And then they're like, well, I mean, you know, he does have an exemption.
Well, the UFC has said no, but it's John Jones, so they'll just change the rules like they did with this whole testing procedure.
Right?
So clearly that's.
Oh, by the way, yeah, he is approved for TRT.
It's
like, whoa, wait, the guy's like 24. How's that even.
I assume we're wrapping quick here. I do want to check in. Dan Henderson just mentioned on Twitter at the taping of the show here, he thinks he lasted as long as he did because he didn't do coke. So thank you, Dan Henderson, for chiming in.
Yeah, my man.
Oh, boy. Okay, and we will be back next week. And like I said, we will be dealing with UFC in Boston as Donald Cerrone fights for the second time in 6 days against Benson Henderson.
Slight exaggeration.
And Conor McGregor, just very slightly,
very
actually.
Slight.
Conor McGregor and Dennis Siver, that will be the main event as we see if, in fact, Conor McGregor is going to be fighting for the title here very, very shortly. And we will obviously talk about that next week, so stop looking at me like you want to pounce in and tell me how great Conor McGregor is, because we will handle all of that next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.